SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Radio Network.
Welcome into the early line. We are live right here on SportsGrid on this Tuesday morning. I am Kevin Walsh, joined by Donnie Wrightside. Donnie, how you doing?
It's Tuesday. Week is already moving through here, Kevin. About 48 hours from the NBA draft. We'll have some talk a little bit later in the show today. Some big doings in Major League Baseball last night, including in MVP performance, possibly out of Shohei Ohtani. We got a lot to get to today, Kevin.
Yeah, that will certainly make its way into our 7-7 top headlines. But we started off with Aaron Rodgers. Boy, that was quick, from retirement to returning. It appears that the Packers and Aaron Rodgers are very, very close to working out an agreement that will see him return to Green Bay.
Yeah, and how about last night? You know, everybody's on watch. When is Aaron Rodgers going to get to town? His private jet flies in. They met him at the airport. Oh, my goodness, Aaron Rodgers is back in town. But there are a couple degrees here to this contract that we're looking at. It's not to say, and everybody's reading here, Kevin, that maybe Aaron Rodgers is only going to play one more year for Green Bay. This is a wait-and-see approach. If Aaron Rodgers is happy in 2021, you know what? He's going to play well for Green Bay in 2022 and beyond here. It's a good move for both parties. You wanted your MVP candidate under center for week one, and now you have them, Green Bay.
No doubt about it. Odds updating rapidly yesterday around the Green Bay Packers. We will be discussing that, no doubt about it. Over in the world of college football, Oklahoma and Texas declared that they will not be renewing their media rights with the Big 12 after their expiration in 2025, making way for their move eventually to join the SEC.
It's a smart move for both of those teams because it's all about money. Maybe you're not going to win as many championships, or your pathway to a championship is going to get cloudy. But as long as it's cloudy, Kevin, and you can't see through all the money raining down, that's what they did it for. We'll talk a little bit later in the show about what this actually pertains to. But I got to tell you, what type of marriage is this going to be in the Big 12 when two of your, you know, leading candidates to get out can't leave till 2025? This ought to be fun to watch.
It's going to be really interesting to watch it play out. Perhaps Oklahoma State and West Virginia and the rest of them can create a super team to try to beat Oklahoma. Nobody really has to worry about Texas. How about in the NBA? Donnie mentioned it is draft week, and we got a big trade involving some draft picks here. The Grizzlies send out Jonas Valanciunas, the 17th pick, as well as the 51st overall selection, and they get in return Steven Adams, Eric Bledsoe, and the 10th overall pick, as well as a top 40 selection and a 2022 first rounder. So a big time move here, Donnie, between the Grizz and the Pels before the NBA draft.
Yeah, this is one of those things where the Pelicans are looking for the future. Not so much to say that this actual trade is going to make them better, but it frees up cap space in order to get another superstar to pair along with Zion Williamson. So you can say to him in a year or two, hey, look, here's what we're doing for you. We got all these superstars. Why don't you stay home in New Orleans with us to make a career out of it where we can win some games, we can make some money, and we can have our own superstar that will actually stay in New Orleans, unlike Anthony Davis. We'll see how it pertains, but I know a lot of people scratching their head. It's all about the money in the NBA. You got to get star players to go in town to stay with Zion, which is exactly why they changed their coach as well, Kevin. Looking towards the future, it's all about Zion.
Also, the Grizzlies moving up to 10 is very noteworthy. Very good at drafting over the past couple of seasons, and the reports are that they have their eyes on moving up even further, potentially into the top five. If possible, they will be a team to track. Let's bring the radio audience into the fold here. Thanks to all those that are listening to the early line on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204, the Mightier 1090, all of our radio affiliates out there going through it here on a Tuesday morning. Sticking with the NBA, the reports are that the Toronto Raptors are making a significant push, Donnie, to trade for Ben Simmons.
Yeah, take a look at the tweet reads here. You know, the Raptors guard Fred VanVleet will be included, OG Anunoby, and a first-round pick for Simmons. But it says it was rejected by Toronto. So this leads me to believe that the Sixers are picking up the phone as opposed to what they've been saying. Like, hey, you know, if people call us, we'll listen. Looks like they are making phone calls and trying to wheel and deal. Now, we do know pressure causes everything to make sense and move forward because we have the NBA draft on Thursday night. Most teams want their draft picks this year. So maybe Ben Simmons on the move over the next 48 hours. I would be surprised if that deal went down. Looking more for player, Damon Lillard for Ben Simmons in a package here. I'm not so sure those first-round draft picks make a lot of sense for either team because both of them look to be in the playoffs, so that's going to be not a lottery pick at this time, but interesting to hear some of these leaks already come out about Ben Simmons, Kevin.
The rumor mill continuing to heat up. How about over in the world of Major League Baseball? An RBI single, a stolen base, and seven innings of one-run baseball. There is only one guy that can do this, and that is Shohei Ohtani. Does it all in an Angels victory.
Yep, and actually improving his odds, Kevin, in the MVP race. I don't know why they haven't shut it off at the FanDuel Sportsbook just yet here. Ohtani clear and away the MVP in the American League, continued to dominate on the mound. Impressive performance out of, yes, the 2021 MVP.
What a tremendous talent. It's just mind-blowing to watch the stuff that he can do. From one ace pitcher, yes, an ace pitcher, to another. Max Scherzer, Donnie, apparently open to waiving his no-trade clause and could be moved out of Washington before the deadline passes.
I think this makes sense for both sides here, Kevin. The reason being, Max Scherzer is giving you everything he's got for that franchise. Cy Young Award winner, World Series champion. Now you let him go a little bit later in his career. I think it works out for both parties. You can get some prospects back, and you can set Max Scherzer up for his future on a good baseball team looking to make another World Series run. One hand washes the other. I think it's a perfect scenario. And yes, as a Phillies fan, would love to see him out of the NL East.
Quickly, some Olympic updates here. Naomi Osaka upset in surprising fashion. Also, USA women's basketball and soccer getting very positive results this morning. Coming back, the early line continues.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the early line. Time to dive into the top headlines that we got from the NFL yesterday. We knew that the NFL was going to start to become a bigger part of our conversation here, but yesterday was a whirlwind of news. It started with Deshaun Watson, which we will bring up during this hour here, certainly. But we have to start it off with Aaron Rodgers, as we mentioned at the top of the show, nearing an agreement, all seemingly finalized, that is going to get him to show up to Green Bay. Before we get to exactly the specifics of the deal, Donnie, I know this for you, hardly a surprise.
No, not a surprise. And even when the draft news broke where Aaron Rodgers was going to be moved, there might have been some validity to that at that time. Because you're looking at the draft picks, three or four of them, whatever you might get, you would have immediate impact for the Green Bay Packers, meaning players on the field this year and also being able to break in Jordan Love as your quarterback. Once the draft ended and Aaron Rodgers wasn't moved, and then we started to see him on vacation in Hawaii, it's all leverage game out here. Let me call my friends. Let me not talk about anything in Green Bay. I'm not going to show up to any workouts. I'm going to tell every single audience that asked me any questions, Kevin, about whether or not I want to play for Green Bay. Well, we'll see. Well, then you have to also look into the past, as you always like to bring up. You know, he is an MVP. Why would he not want to continue to play football? He talks so much about Tom Brady and saying, look how great it is to play into your 40s and win a Super Bowl. I've got one Super Bowl. I would like to win another one. Also a team that's won 13 games back-to-back in 16-game schedules, now heading to 17 games. Why would Aaron Rodgers have wanted to retire? And unless he was forcing his way out to the San Francisco 49ers around draft time, the Los Angeles Rams, before they made a move for Matthew Stafford, I would understand that because you might be thinking you're bettering your situation. Better defense, better play caller, more comfortable in the system, nice with a little, you know, fresh break from Green Bay where I can reinvigorate myself, just like Tom Brady did, leaving the Patriots, heading down to Tampa Bay. But it made no sense whatsoever the past couple weeks, and even saw sportsbooks taking some of the numbers down because they heard he was going to retire. MVPs in their prime don't retire unless you're the Detroit Lions, with Megatron, Calvin Johnson, and also Barry Sanders leaving Detroit early, much before their prime was even ended. But you're talking about Green Bay, a legend in Green Bay, a ready-made football team that, if he steps onto the field, they are one of the favorites to not only win the Super Bowl, but win the NFC and easily take apart the division. No surprise to me whatsoever that he's back in Green Bay and ready to go before training camp even began, Kevin. Didn't even have to wait on this.
You know, it was fascinating because I still had my doubts that he was going to either be traded, or I thought he might be traded. I thought maybe he wouldn't show up week one. Again, the retirement thing was always outrageous. I do wonder if it worked, though, because, boy, pretty quickly they all of a sudden figure this out. And the Packers went on to certainly make some concessions to get this done, lopping off the final year of his deal, promising not to franchise tag him, and needing to show a willingness to trade Rodgers past this season. Donnie, when you look at the things that Green Bay needed to offer Rodgers to get him back into the building, any issues or concerns with that?
None whatsoever. And I know I saw a lot of going around social media, even the beat reporter saying, Kevin, oh, Aaron Rodgers won. It was never about the money. Let me get this straight on the money aspect of it, Kevin. Because they're saying, like, well, you know, 2 years, $90 million was floated out, and he said, no, I didn't want that. I just want my years off there, because it's never been about the money. It's about respect. So you're leading me to believe that if Aaron Rodgers, after next year, says, all right, Green Bay, thanks for all the money, and we didn't get the Super Bowl done in 2021, I want to go elsewhere, he's not going to get 2 years, $90 million guaranteed on the free agent market, where he's going to pick wherever he wants to go and be traded to? It's always been about the money. Money is about respect here. Why was it floated out here, Kevin, the 2 years and $90 million? Because that would have locked in Green Bay to Aaron Rodgers to block Jordan Love so he would never see the field, and Aaron Rodgers would prove his point that it was a mistake drafting this guy. Look at this. He's never even going to see the field. Why did you waste this? You could have used it on a running back, wide receiver, pass rusher, or cornerback to help us actually win a Super Bowl. Not surprised at all in the least, but when you look at the contract and how it's set up, this is a LeBron James-esque contract when he went back to Cleveland and said, you know what, Cleveland, you're not going to get me to a five-year, $200 million deal where after year one, hey, we can't go above the luxury tax, LeBron. It is what it is. We got you for four more years. We'll see what happens. LeBron chose that escape clause every single year to hold the owner's feet to the fire. So next year in Green Bay, if they go into the draft and say, hey, Aaron, we're going to pick a backup offensive guard. Or how about this, Aaron? We're going to pick another quarterback here, but we got you locked in for 5 years, so you're going to be have to like it here. He can opt out, and he can say, take that year off. I want to be traded. Let me get on to my next team. It's a win-win for both teams. Number one, you get Aaron Rodgers, the MVP, one of the best quarterbacks in the history of the NFL, under center with a good football team, and you try to please him. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is ever leaving Green Bay, Kevin. How do you like that?
Interesting. I think that certainly could find its way into even a future hot or not. I still have my doubts about that being the case, but for Green Bay, it doesn't matter. Because at the end of the day, at some point, you want to have Jordan Love be your quarterback. Whether or not you believe that's foolish, I tend to think that, at least just the way they've played this out, they're going to give Jordan Love the ball. They wanted to be able to trade Aaron Rodgers next offseason, and now they will. And that will be significantly better than trying to get everything the Denver Broncos own, as they would be a one-team market for one of the most valuable players the sport has to offer. So I certainly agree that this is a win-win for both sides here. Ultimately, what this will come down to, I think more than having say in the draft, is how they perform next season. And you look at it, and boy, have the numbers changed once again quickly on the Green Bay Packers, when it seems like it is now all but solidified he will be returning. The win total, 10, minus 150 to the over. Odds to win the NFC North, plus 150 yesterday. This morning, Donnie, minus 155.
Yep, it all sounds about right. And I joked yesterday when we had that hot or not topic, you know, 8.5 do you take? And I say it should be 13.5. There's no reason to believe that they're not going to win 13 games. Just buoyed by the fact if they stay healthy, which is always a big if, but that's for every NFL franchise, they have a walk to that easy division. They're going to win that division with ease, similar to, like I always talk about, the AFC East and the Patriots on a 20-year run. There's not really a great football team or even possibly good football teams in that division as it plays out here. But also, when you take a look at Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay and the future of that organization, organization. Kevin, doesn't it also turn out that he's now a de facto GM, where he can say, pick, place a phone call to Gutekunst or the front office or Thompson, the president of the organization, I need another wide receiver. And they don't get him one. So what he goes, well, then I'm just going to opt out of my contract. He now has the leverage where if he's not completely happy, he can lop off that extra year in 2023 and say, okay, you know, it was nice. It didn't work out. But now I do want to be traded. And you're not going to use the tag on me if I have to stay an extra year longer. His escape clause now in that golden parachute is what makes him now the de facto GM, which I like. When you have a quarterback at that age, keep him happy. The only reason why you're still standing in Green Bay over the last 30 years is because you had Hall of Famer Brett Favre and Hall of Famer Aaron Rodgers. Good luck on the next leap here when you go to Jordan Love. If he's not a Hall of Fame caliber football player, what is that fan base going to look forward to? They've been treated over that past, you know, 25 years or so to absolutely dominant football, Super Bowls, playoff runs, you know, NFC championship games, division winning games. It's amazing to watch it play out, but good for Aaron Rodgers. I think this is exactly what he wanted, and quite frankly, Kevin, exactly what Green Bay wanted.
It's interesting because obviously we all turn our attention to the new updated Green Bay numbers. I could not help but also look to see if the Broncos numbers, I don't know, came back to reality. Because again, they were still, I felt like, being booked as if Aaron Rodgers was in that building, and he wasn't. Perhaps, though, there's still a bit of an idea that they could land Deshaun Watson. And that's going to be, to me, I think, Donnie, the next big thing that we have to follow here. It's not a matter of when. I think it's it's a matter of when Watson has moved on. The who, Eagles and Broncos, seem to be those two clear front runners.
They do seem to be those two clear front runners. And also, you saw yesterday 10 criminal complaints filed here, an update from the lawyer of Deshaun Watson. But this is such an interesting one to break down, Kevin. In what world are teams fighting over to give multiple draft picks? Not like a sixth rounder to take a flyer on Deshaun Watson to see if he doesn't have any legal issues. We're talking about they're asking for 5 draft picks and 2 starters of a guy that might not see the field this year or next year with that future up in the air. Just goes to show you how talented football players still rule the roost in the NFL.
Watson still 50-1 on the FanDuel Sportsbook to win MVP this coming season. We're taking a break here on the early line. When we come back, Mike Blewett joins us on the show to break it all down. Keep it here.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right here on the early line on this Tuesday morning, going through some of the top headlines in the world of football, not just the NFL, but of course the college football game as well. Hoping to have Mike Blewett join us shortly here on the show. And Don, I want to bring up this Texas-Oklahoma story because obviously it's a really big deal when you think about the future of college football. And it feels like every single day there's a new report out there, not only about what Texas and Oklahoma are looking to do, but, oh, Kansas is going to change, you know, from a basketball standpoint. Ohio State is going to look to make a move. Who knows if Clemson then starts to get on the phone here. Do you feel like we are now starting to knock down the first dominoes that will bring us to one super conference in college football?
Isn't this what everybody wanted, right? The NILs, you know, to sort of start to pay the football players. It's unfair. You know, the labor is unfair. And it's be careful what you wish for, because everything is dominated by the almighty dollar, which I'm okay with. I'm fine with. But if you like your football programs out in the Pac-12, you know, you're cheering on Arizona, Arizona State, UCLA. Okay. If you like your Big 12 programs, you know, hey, I'm a Baylor fan. It's fun to be in a big-time conference here. It's all of a sudden going to be shut out. And it looks like we're only on the horizon, Kevin, over the next 5 to 10 years where college football and the NCAA completely break apart. And it makes sense to me. I joked during the pandemic last year where some leagues were looking like, hey, maybe we shouldn't play here and it's not worth it. And the SEC says, you know what? We're going to play football. And I was fine with it. If you would have given me just an SEC football season in college football last year, I think the fans would have been fine for a majority. Forget about the schools and the, you know, the alma mater and you're just here for a certain school. Just from an overall quality football perspective, if the only conference I played was the SEC, I would be completely fine with that overall, Kevin. So if we're moving towards a super league where, you know, you pick and choose and say, hey, ACC, I don't know, Miami, Florida State, and Clemson, come on over to the SEC. Hey, Big Ten, Penn State and Ohio State, why don't you come down to the SEC? And you just pick and choose, and you have a 32-team league, essentially, Kevin, with nothing but really good football teams, and that's all that matters? Sounds a lot like the NFL to me, Kevin.
I think in some ways it makes sense, because at the end of the day, there's a lot of games it does feel like on that college football slate often where you're like, this is a waste of time, right? You've got Alabama playing the Citadel basically as a pseudo bye week before they have to play Auburn, which is unnecessary. I'm not really sure that this can be blamed on the NIL. I mean, we've done realignment before. The pockets were always, you know, looking to grow bigger for these schools here, regardless of whether or not these players were going to make money on their own. I mean, I don't think that those things necessarily, like, that leads to
I don't want to interrupt you on that, Kev, but just a quick point on that one, just to counter back there. I'm just saying from a money standpoint. Now, college football is all about money. So the players want money, and then we can't get mad at the organizations like Oklahoma and Texas for wanting more money by going to the SEC, because the fan backlash is, oh, it's all about greed and money. It's always been about that. Now everybody's just dipping their hands into the pot of gold. That's all I was trying to say, Kev.
Right, no, and that's fair, and obviously that's going to be the MO for those schools. That you know, at the end of the day, right, is their job. And I guess that really does become the main question at this point, right? Donnie, is there anything that can be done to stop the creation? At the end of the day, like, I don't think the SEC will even exist. There's no reason to call it the SEC if, when you bring in USC and Notre Dame and everybody else from all, like, are we just going to get, as you mentioned, a, you know, whether it be 32-team super league of the best college football programs in the world? Is there anything that not only can be done, Donnie, but is there a reason to fight against it? Is maybe that what would be best for the sport?
It's absolutely best for the sport. Like, we have to stop living back in, like, the 40s, 50s, and the 60s when the players were so excited to get to the Blue Bonnet Bowl or, you know, oh, I can't wait to go to the Sugar Bowl. These bowls don't matter anymore. And you hear me rant and rave on college football quite a bit. I love college football. It is a wonderful sport, but it's time for that sport to change here. If we do away with bowl season, more eyeballs will be on the playoffs. I can always equate it to March Madness, and you say, okay, the top 64 teams. Imagine not doing that and just limiting it to about 8 teams here and just have that one-off. That doesn't make sense. It's what makes the pageantry great, and nobody is going to sit out an NCAA tournament football game because they want to go to the NFL. You play to win a championship. So if you're going to go play in the Citrus Bowl as the Florida Gators, and you say, well, I have 7 guys going in the draft, they're all sitting out. Why? Because this football game doesn't mean anything. Now all of a sudden the Citrus Bowl is Florida, who's ranked 19th, playing against some team ranked 26th. Every single starter who's going to the NFL, including maybe the number one overall draft pick, Kevin, they are playing in that football game. I like the fact that better football is going to happen on the horizon, bigger stakes and bigger games, because you are correct. When you're looking on a Saturday afternoon, what do we usually look to? What's the night game on ESPN? Because it's probably a big matchup. What's the afternoon SEC game on CBS? Probably a monster matchup. And then you say, oh, well, look at this. Tennessee's playing Arkansas. Great. San Jose State, Utah State. Oh, that's fantastic. Just show me the money here on these big-time football games, and I think we're one step closer to that.
I think the interesting thing is when people wonder about parity, right? Will anything change, whether it's 28 teams or 32 teams, from this just being the Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson trio battling for national championships here, right? And if you look at it, those are three of the top four teams with Georgia in the fold. Oklahoma's the fifth. 25-1 is the option for the sixth team. But if there is a, and again, just using 32 as the number because that's the number that the NFL has, if that's what you're given, then the way the talent is spread out to your other colleges, I mean, all of the best players will exist there, and you actually might start to get a little bit more parity. You ask yourself, well, what do you do about the schools that won't get themselves into that 32? Do you run it like European football with relegation, bottom four and top four, and have a rotating door? Those are all questions that they're going to need to answer here The one thing that I do wonder, if at all, Donnie, will it have an impact on college football in the meantime, right? You mentioned this at the top of the show here in the Big 12. If it's going to be odd, at least for me, to watch Oklahoma dominate and Texas do whatever Texas does, as we all know, the clock is just ticking on their departure.
Yeah, and if you don't have the media rights in there, you're trying to force the hand of the Big 12 to say, hey, look, let's come to the table. We're not going to pay a $75 million exit fee, whatever it is per school here. Let's throw this down to about $25 million. Let us get out maybe a couple years earlier so we can move to the SEC. Because if you want out of the conference, like Oklahoma and Texas do, how much of a conference partnership are you going to have with the rest of the league at this point now? Are you going to promote the Big 12 at every turn knowing you want nothing to do with the Big 12? You know how you have the signs painted all over the stadium, even on the field? Do they just take out the, you know, sprayer here and knock it off the field? Hey, we used to put the Big 12 on the 35-yard line. Yeah, don't worry about that anymore. We're going to be out of here in a couple years anyway. You want league partnerships, and it's doomsday for the Big 12 because basically they'll probably file bankruptcy at this point with their two flagship programs leaving. Are you telling me like, hey, you know, you hear the reports out here. Well, maybe they should call, I don't know, Utah. Maybe they should call Utah State. What is that going to do, adding on to the Big 12? They're no longer going to be a premier conference. But having said that, Kevin, as a football fan, I root for Clemson, not because I like them, because they're one of the more powerful teams. I don't like Ohio State, but I love them in the playoffs. I don't necessarily like Auburn or Alabama, but I like when they show up in the playoffs. How many times as a fan here, and they're going to say it's East Coast bias, right, where I'm looking at the Pac-12, and Kevin, I don't care what the scores are. I just hope they have a team, their best team has two losses, so they don't make it into the college football playoff, so we have to see like a Washington get bounced round one by the SEC. We shouldn't have to think like that. Just put the best teams in the tournament and the teams that people want to watch on TV. There's no such thing as Clemson and Alabama fatigue. Are you kidding me? So you're basically saying like the Jordan, the 90s Bulls, every fan who liked Jordan, I wish they would just go away and not be able to get in the tournament because I'm tired of seeing Jordan make a run in the playoff with the Bulls. Absolutely not. We love to hate on teams, and we love to love on teams. Perfect equation. Alabama. Can't believe they're in it again. But you know what, Kevin? You're watching them. You're watching them in it.
We should keep, you know, the best teams in, like Notre Dame, who continually shows up to the college football playoff and plays significantly better than whoever it is that Alabama absolutely blasts in the national championship game. Look it up. Notre Dame has played better than the team that goes on to lose in the national championship game here. It is just really interesting to watch this all play out. I hope we can get Mike to come on and talk about this, but I actually have to bring up a little bit of breaking news from the Olympics. I'm not sure if there is a way to react to this news from a gambling perspective. There very well could be. Odds are there often is. But one of the absolute biggest stars that the Olympics has to offer, Simone Biles, is out right now for the rest of the team's final, according to the broadcast here. Again, this is all playing out in real time. Certainly, Donnie and I don't necessarily have eyes on this situation, but certainly noteworthy to bring up here that one of the brightest stars the Olympics maybe has ever offered in Simone Biles right now is out for the rest of the women's gymnastics team final, Donnie.
Yeah, not a great, you know, Olympic start here for the United States with star power quality, which when you're a network trying to broadcast these games and they're already mostly taking place in the middle of the night, your biggest story seem to be coming down. Oh, Ledecky loses for the first time. Now Simone Biles is out. The NBA squad that's sent over there for Team USA, they get bounced in the first game here looking to make a comeback. The women's soccer team, so dominant, you know, gets a draw performance this morning against Australia to move on and already lost a game in soccer. So not the greatest start for Team USA in this one. Still a long way to go in the Olympics, but that is massive news. One of the all-time superstars, not only in U.S. gymnastics history, but in world history throughout the Olympic Games. That's a shame, that news.
Certainly one to follow. We'll give you updates with that as they do come along. Might as well just reiterate what Donnie mentioned about some of the more bigger stories that have come out this morning around the Olympics. Naomi Osaka upset. Very, very surprising. USA women's basketball team played their opener, got a win. And then the U.S. women's soccer team was able to advance despite only getting a draw this morning. Come on back. The early line continues after this play.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
right here on Sports Grid. Mike Stewart joins us. Let's waste no time. Things are working. I want to make sure they stay that way. Mike, we're getting straight into it. The college football world seems to be changing massively. Texas, Oklahoma, it seems like officially will be leaving the Big 12. Not for a little bit now, but it'll probably creep on us sooner than we expect. What is your reaction to the news that the future of the Big 12 certainly now seems to be in doubt?
Sure. So obviously, as Donnie referenced earlier, there is a massive buyout in play if they'd like to leave earlier. It's $76 million. Do they come to some sort of settlement? If I'm the Big 12, I'm going to leverage it as much as I can to get every last dime because it's likely the last big payday they ever see. So what I think will happen, and to be honest, it's something I thought was going to happen for a very long time. And as you know, I sort of work in a corporate setting in the college space. And I think it's been known for some time that we're headed down this path where the FBS football teams were always thought to be breaking away into their own separate conference, division, league, whatever you'd like to call it, with a separate commissioner. Mike Slive, the former SEC commissioner, said years ago that this just doesn't really work. To govern FBS football teams in the same manner that you govern a Division III volleyball team doesn't make a lot of sense. So with the amount of money pouring in and the NIL being in place now and amateurism sort of being put aside, it makes sense that the top teams will break off. Now, the magic number is up for debate. I always thought it to be around 80, and then the other 50 teams go away. Perhaps they continue to play Division I football. Do they merge with FCS? All of these questions are in play. But Texas and Oklahoma aren't coming back. You're going to see more super conferences. Is it four? Is it five? Is it four 20-team conferences? That makes conference scheduling a little tricky. I don't think they moved to 16 games just yet in terms of a season-long schedule. But, yes, I while the Texas-Oklahoma news surprised me as to the timing, in no way would that have surprised me if you had told me it 5 years ago, 8 years ago.
Yeah, the new wave of college football, as we like to see it here, and I know a lot of people on social media, fans of the game, you're going to ruin college football, you're going to ruin college football. But it's not really up to Oklahoma and Texas to save the Big 12, per se, because as you see some of the, you know, chancellors come out from the universities, Oklahoma State very upset. Why? Because they're going to be a team that's going to be left out and left holding the bag, such as, like, you know, Waco with Baylor and all those. So when you look at this moving forward, I know a lot of people get upset. Well, I like the way college football is. It's not really the job of these teams to save the smaller market, so to speak, as what you would see in the NBA with maybe revenue sharing in Major League Baseball on the luxury taxes and even revenue sharing in the NFL. It's big money business now, and I don't actually mind it, Mike. Like, I love Mac football. I love betting on Mac football. I love watching the Mountain West. I think it's a fun brand of football, but it's not up to the Texases and the Oklahomas to support them through a national TV-related audience. And, yeah, you know, if a conference makes it into a bowl game, you're going to get X amount of money for the conference itself. It looks like the big programs are now looking out for themselves and leaving the smaller football programs in the dust. So my question to you on this one is, over the next 3 to 4 years, just looking at Texas and Oklahoma itself, there is no way that they're going to play in the Big 12 till 2025 when you know they want out of this conference. How can they actually break away and start this much sooner? Are there leverage talks on the table which would say, like, hey, you know, $75 million, let's cut it down to $15 million. We'll cut you loose in 2023. Just be a good league partner until we can figure this thing out from a Big 12 perspective.
Well, there's no incentive for them to be a good league partner. Texas and Oklahoma already told you they were breaking up with you. It's just now a matter of how much money you get in the divorce. It obviously, there will be lawyers, so they'll have to figure this all out. I'd imagine it's a significant payout to get them out after this upcoming season, and the SEC's kitty will probably go towards that, right? They have the biggest TV deal. They have the most money to pay, so perhaps it's a situation where, and we saw this with, say, Rutgers and Maryland when they entered the Big Ten. When they entered the Big Ten, they didn't just start hammering full membership Big Ten checks as soon as they joined the conference. there was a process. They received 25%, and then it gradually went up until after year four, they were a full Big Ten member. So I'd imagine something like that could happen with Texas and Oklahoma, offset by the buyout money to get them out early. But like you said, $76 million is a big number. I'm sure it will try to be negotiated down. How much remains to be seen. I still think they will pay significant. I think it's north of $50 million at least to get them out early. It is blowing up the Big 12. So, again, it's the last paycheck they're going to get. It really is just a matter to me of who gets added to the ACC now. Where does the Big 10 go? Donnie, you mentioned Oklahoma State. Does Oklahoma State join the Big Ten? Do they get pulled into the SEC if it expands beyond 16 teams? I think there's a lot of questions. And you mentioned the MAC and the Mountain West. Really, what does happen with that? Does that become, does the Group of Five become its own separate division as they pull teams up from the Sun Belt and everything else to perhaps create super conferences there of a division, a separate division of college football? Maybe, you know, the Power Five is one. Then we have a division of the Group of Five teams, the other 50 teams that get left out, and then FCS. That could be the case. Clearly, there's a large appetite for college football, no matter who is on. But something that Joe Lisi and I have talked about on Football Full Circle a lot. You know, the irony of all of this and the 12-team playoff and Texas and Oklahoma moving over, going into any given college football season, you could write down on a piece of paper from year to year, probably the same 10 teams or so that have an actual chance to win the title. This is very much a haves and have-nots scenario. It's Alabama and Georgia and Florida and LSU. Are there any other SEC teams that can really win on a regular basis? Auburn has been in the mix. You've had Florida State. You have Clemson. The Pac-12 has fallen off. But really, what are the chances that anybody outside of a top 10 to 12 program can actually win the national championship? It's low, if non-existent.
Notre Dame, certainly in that group, absolutely. I think, as well. Yeah. Let's just make sure we bring the Fighting Irish.
I'm not throwing shade. I know you have to stick up for the school that you didn't attend. But I will say that it's fair that Notre Dame is in the mix, yes.
Someone's got to do it. Let's transition over to the NFL, Mike. The team with the tied for the third best odds to win the Super Bowl, the Green Bay Packers, certainly got a boost as Aaron Rodgers is making his way back to Green Bay. I've loved this news cycle every step of the way. Donnie has never once bought into it for a minute. Fine by me. I love that he retired over the weekend, basically, here. What have you made of the Green Bay Packers saga? And what I'm really interested as well is, Mike, does this linger over everybody's head now entering this season?
To be young, Kev. I love that you're swayed by every piece of Aaron Rodgers news, putting a little bit more money on every bet, angling it every different way. I love that. But I think Donnie and I are probably in lockstep here. While it was always a guess, and I never tried to get inside Aaron Rodgers' head, I thought it was going to be a one-year deal. I think the Last Dance photo that he and Davante Adams posted on social media was their way of saying, all right, we're going to run it back one last time, and then we'll see what happens after that. I think that the Packers have done what they can do to get him back. Obviously, reporters jumping on him when he gets off the plane at midnight last night. I think he runs it back one last time and then says, thanks. He obviously has counsel with Tom Brady if he wants it, and Tom Brady angling to void out of his contract and become a free agent so he can do what he wants. I could see a very similar situation happening here with Aaron Rodgers. I don't know if he has any destinations in mind, but I don't know if Tom Brady had any destinations in mind when he decided to put the void years in his contract. Tampa wasn't first on everybody's list even when it happened, so it certainly wasn't that 6 months out. I think you'll see the same thing with Aaron Rodgers.
By the way, Mike, I don't know if you saw the, you know, videos out there, the pictures from Hawaii. I mean, I was on the inside here. Me, Miles Teller, and Aaron Rodgers just partying up a storm out there in Honolulu. Shailene, I knew exactly the situation that they were going to get into. But Exactly. I mean, that you have to be on the inside to know. But anyway, looking at Aaron Rodgers overall for the NFL season, I think he's happy now. I think he's refreshed. And I don't even think, as we talked about earlier with Kevin here, that he's even going to lead Green Bay now. Isn't he now, Mike, the de facto GM? Hey, I want another wide receiver. Oh, you're not going to get it for me? Yeah, I went out of town at this point. It's almost like both sides got what they wanted, a Hall of Fame MVP caliber quarterback to win a championship for Green Bay. And also Aaron Rodgers now, I guess he does have that red bat phone where anytime he has an issue, it goes right to Ted Thompson or it goes right to Gutekunst and says, hey, you need to get me some help here. Oh, you don't want to? Okay, we'll revisit this at the end of the season. I think it works well, Mike, for both parties here.
I love that Donnie's got the insider subscription to the Hollywood Reporter, and he's just name-dropping us all during this segment, Kev. But I would note that, I think he's been angling for more say in their personnel decisions, but he hasn't gotten it. And to be honest, Donnie, I actually don't think he's going to get it anymore. I think this is a one-year deal where they say, all right, we can't trade you right now. We can give you some void years. We can let you out of the deal. We don't know the exact details yet, but we can let you out of it after this year, and you can decide whether or not you want to come back. They have a backup plan. So, I mean, they chose this course of action, and the backup plan has yet to be enacted yet, but I think it will be after this season. Yeah, he could probably go to them after the year and be like, hey, will you change this, this, and this? And they'll probably say no. And then we'll move on with Jordan Love, and we'll make our own personnel decisions. Now, they might lose Devontae Adams also as a result of it, but the Packers have shown themselves to be a team comfortable with just sort of building from within. They're not a big free agency team, and I think they probably move on after this year. The odds have changed tremendously. If you had Packers money, don't act like you knew that this was going to happen, but you guessed right. And if you had Vikings money, maybe you're not feeling great. But the Vikings number is still pretty low at 8.5 is the win number, but the total number. But it was -170. The juice was when I did Football Full Circle on Sunday. It's down to -155 now. So people clearly betting the under on the Vikings now that Aaron Rodgers is back. But 9-8 is not a huge task for the Vikings. I think they can still do it.
Mike, only about a minute left here. Deshaun Watson, 50-1 to an NFL MVP this season. What team is he on week one? Does he play week one?
I don't care what team he's on because I don't think we see him on the field this season. I just think there's too much going on. I think it's a commissioner exempt list situation. That is obviously a guess from me, but I don't think he plays this year. I'd be stunned if somebody gave up multiple draft picks to see a guy sit out when you don't know what his long-term future is, but desperate times call for desperate measures. He's never playing for the Texans again, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's amazing stuff as we see it unfold because two teams out there, Denver and also the Philadelphia Eagles looking hot on his trail. 5 draft picks for a guy that might not play. Amazing stuff here, Mike, for sure.
Yeah, so I would agree. Yeah, Kev, I would just say Denver is telling you that they don't have a long-term plan, so that's why Watson's still in the mix.
Yeah, I definitely agree he doesn't play for the Texans again. It does seem like the Eagles or the Broncos are in the mix there. Great stuff, as always, from Mike Blewett. Glad we're able to get this to work here. We take a break. We come right back. The Early Line continues live on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Segment here for hour number one. Let's close this thing out, sticking with the NFL. Might as well. We had a little hot or not that we wanted to get to, and I think it'll perfectly wrap up what we have been talking about. Once again, the Green Bay Packers, Aaron Rodgers coming to an agreement. What the future holds beyond this coming season, I don't know, but it does not matter for this market here, Donnie. Hot or not, the Green Bay Packers will have the best record in the NFL.
Let's ride this wave of Aaron Rodgers here early morning on Tuesday now that he's refreshed and ready. Happy to be back with the Green Bay Packers. And again, Kevin, still waiting for that press conference from Aaron Rodgers. But guys, What are you talking about out here, man? You knew all along I didn't want to leave Green Bay. They said at 13-1 to have the best overall record in the NFL, and why not? Look at the teams above them here, Kevin. The Kansas City Chiefs, much better division. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, to me, a better division. Buffalo Bills, better division. 49ers, Ravens ahead of them. Both teams in better divisions. I do think you're getting a 5-1 at minimum here for the Green Bay Packers inside their division. 17 games here on the schedule. They won 13 the past two seasons. If they win 13 again this year, why not having the best overall record in football? 13-1, Green Bay Packers, absolutely hot. The best record in football this year, Kevin.
I'll tell you what, there's definitely some great value on that number, 13-1 on the FanDuel Sportsbook. I lean towards a not, even if I do think they can beat up on their division. I think that Tampa Bay does have a nice opportunity to beat up on the NFC South this season. I think that their number at 6-1 is quite attractive. I just want to say that Donnie this entire time has not only said that Rodgers will be back. He said that what we're going to do is Aaron Rodgers going to go, what are you talking about? I was never leaving. A little bit tongue-in-cheek, I think. Not only is that absolutely going to happen from Rodgers, but everybody's already doing it for him. Again, Donnie can say this because Donnie's been consistent. But everybody, I told you he wasn't leaving. Cut it out. I mean, this whole thing. Like, that's really what's going to happen. Like, I'm A-plus jabroni number one because on draft night, he's like, I'm leaving, and I half bought in while the whole world was on the same island with Gutekunst, Miles Teller, and Aaron Rodgers. What an unbelievable scene. Our number two coming up next of the early line.